Зажирам това е тресни. Ридъм фусад от мота ми са бъртали. His advice was there's a great treasure in this Malfuzat, more beneficial than the Mawa'idh. Mawa'idh also is beneficial, but the Malfuzat are even more beneficial. So I try my best read something from the Malfuzat every day. So as I left here in the morning, I just opened randomly. So that quotes Al-Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi. Al-Fasani, second millennium. So he came around at that time. The first millennium had just ended, and now is the second millennium. So I just opened randomly to see now what treasures I can find. And he quotes Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullahi. If someone has got these two things, he won't be deprived by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. He will gain something. But provided he holds to these two things. One is, he holds to the Sunnah. He holds firmly to the Sunnah. The Sunnah, as I understand, one are the maqasid, the objectives of deen. So these are things that you, for example, are not emphasized like the maqasid, lower body. So if someone dresses that way, it's good. Anybody dressing, except the ihram, he will wear that. There wasn't that emphasis by the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to wear these type of things. Or now, for example, to carry a stick, right? So the Nabi Sallam would have sometimes a stick, but wasn't something emphasized. The Arab ulama, they also feel the same about the turban. There is one or two hadiths which encourage the wearing of a turban, because it brings about tolerance. Yazidu fil hilm. But it wasn't so well emphasized. Someone wears it, very good. Someone doesn't wear it, don't make a noise about it. It's good. It shows the shi'ar of Islam. It's nice. And there are different lengths. One is about 3 meters. One is 6 meters. And these are all secondary things. You don't want to do these things here. One youngster was performing namaz. So he makes it a point of saying, Sawu sufufakum. Alright? It happened in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now, was the maqsad to say the hadith in that words, or was the maqsad to straighten the rows? What was it? Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen a person not doing his wuzu right. So the heels were dried. So he cautioned him, أَزْبِغُ الْوُدُوءِ وَيْلُ لِلْأَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. to the wuzu well. See that your feet also are washed well. Now, should you be saying these words in Arabic again? Since Arabic speaking people, they understand very good. The idea was to ensure that the feet are washed well. And more especially, my mother used to say, in winter you must be even more sure about rubbing the feet. Because it becomes a little bit hard, so the water may just slip over. So see that you rub it, so that water reaches well. So one is now the actual objectives. So the actual objective, this is what is supposed to be emphasized. Like for example, having a clean heart at all times. Now that was now a great maqasid, from amongst the greater maqasid. You spend the day, spend the night, and not being malicious. Not being jealous of anybody, not being malicious. So these are the objectives. And the objectives, then this is what, for example, to promote muhabbat. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. So now, the reason life was designed in that way. It's programmed. How should we promote love? Make salam, give hadiyah, show a smile. So now, these were the maqasid. So how to promote muhabbat. How to be of service to Muslims. And others as well, but that was his life. See, Khadija had comforted Nabi Sassan. See the words. إِنَّكَ لَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. Right? So these are things that in Nabi Sassan from the very beginning, even pre-Nubuwwat, helping out, assisting, cooperating in good. So these are things that Nabi said. So these are the important maqasid. Now, we forget these things here. Now, someone is so particular about this dystopia.
You don't have dystopia, then you're off.
It must be that five pieces. It must be that.
Now, you understand what the maqasid? Understand the maqasid and work towards it. This is someone who wears it very good. And it's a topi that was worn by our elders. Very good, mashallah. But now, don't make that the criteria. You must wear that. Now, you don't see an Arab wearing this thing yet. And that means that Arab, you'll just shift him out. He's off. Now, in the secondary things where you take it so important, then this is how you will begin to see things and people. You can't work. So the maqasid, the asli and what is RSE, right? Do it very good, but if someone didn't do it, then don't make a noise. So to understand these things, right? So I was quoting Mujaddid al-Basani rahmatullahi for two things, then inshallah you won't be deprived. So one is adherence to the Sunnah. And this adherence is, even in the Quran, فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِالَّذِي أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا فَاسْتَمْسِكْ. What it means? Hold and hold firmly. Not just hold, but hold firmly. I said, no, to feed people is good. Very good. But now you're feeding people after Isha. 100 people came, and
For that time, nobody came for namaz. So now that was sunnat. What was the more important thing?
What was the more important thing? That dawah, you can have some excuse. It will go too long, and I won't make it for further. So, excuse me. Right? I don't mind, but I don't want to lose out my fajr. I know my habits. And I can't leave out a very emphasized thing for something that is secondary. That you can adjust on before Maghrib, after Maghrib. But don't push it at a time that some of the more important things will be left out. See? Using the miswak, this is something emphasized. If someone enters the home and he got the miswak. So much of emphasis on that. An easy way,
where you've got a controlled environment, a home, etc., where you've got children learning under you, but it's controlled. Right? You've got a control over them. So when you've got a control, then take advantage over that. Alright, you tell those children or the students, we'll all practice one sunnah for this week. You all remind me, I will remind you. So, if there's 40 or 5 madrasa weeks in the year, they'll get 45 sunnahs. But the great sunnahs, say, one great sunnah is to take care of the tongue. So you took care of the tongue, so many things will come in. No ghibat, no gossip, no lies, no exaggeration, no disgracing and humiliating, no mimicking, no slander and false accusations. But you're saying something, see that there's substance in it, and you verify the information. So now, one sunnah, but the sunnah that encompasses so many things.
So if
we make it like a standard in the home or standard in the class, one sunnah, and we all practice it. Take one sunnah that covers so many other sunnah. All right, this week, the sunnah is look after our eyes. Darum Diyom, and there was one of the muhtamims, Habibur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi. I remember, he was the contemporary of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib, they were studying together. So, the care he would take of his eyes, he won't even look at anybody. He knows the person or he doesn't know the person, he won't look. See, if I know the person, I'll recognize him from the voice. And if I don't know him, what's the need to look at him? Now, a lot of the gunas, they start off with the eyes. It starts off here, and then you want to progress on that. You saw that the eyes liked it. Just captured in the heart, captured it. Now, you look at the person all the time, feasting your eyes. So, what's the need? It may be an ugly person, and it may be a person who's got some features. But now, it's a person who's got some features that you look again and talk to him again. And then one thing progresses onto the other. So, what's the easiest way? Don't look at him, don't look at him. Finish class, end of the story. Want to look at yourself. It's alright. A lot of times, our elders say, a lot of the wrongs are within us. Within us. And we don't realize the wrong is within us. We shout Svanya, that one there. But the wrong really is within us. So one person is very, very ugly, you know, extremely ugly, not looking well at all. So, staying right in the sticks, never saw the town or whatever else. Now he's coming to the town and he picked up a mirror. And he looked into it. Says, that is why they threw you, man. You're so ugly. Who is he talking to? Talking to himself. He doesn't realize that he's talking to himself. So, many a times the wrongs are within us.
but now we're pointing a finger at other, the other person. We don't realize it's within us. Like even a father or a responsible person or a teacher or a ustad, he looks at it, you know, there must be a wrong within me. I must correct myself. I'm shouting so many other. It's not that you don't guide, but you are taking stock of yourself as well. It's not that I'm just picking on that person and forgetting myself. Someone came to Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi complaining about his child. The child is eating too much of gur. What they call gur? Shikar. Molasses. The child is eating too much of gur. So Imam Sabr Rahmatullahi told him, bring your son after 1 week, something like that. So he brought him after 1 week, and then he advised him, and the child left it out. So the father wants to know, but you could have told him on the spot, you delayed the whole process for 1 week, and then you told him, why do you do that? He said, I am eating this also. I'm eating it. When I'm eating it, I'm relishing on this thing here. So my words won't have an effect on this child. So I left it out now. For this child, I left it out. So now that I left it out, then my words will have an effect on him. See? But you see how you can rectify yourself, correct yourself. Small things, big things, understand. As Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah was in Etikaf. He will bring out to you even the smaller points. And now the person must have shouted from the outside and Mora must have been in namaz or something. So Mora couldn't reply to the person. So now when he didn't reply, he opened the curtain. And Mora called him, said, see this curtain, that veil here, the cubicle, is for a reason. That nobody barges in. And you made salam, and then there wasn't a response, and you barged into my privacy. Was that the right thing? He's engaged in namaz. How can he respond? And now, people are such that they want their attention straight away. Right? Now, if Mu'adh didn't reply, right? The right thing was to wait and to talk to Mu'adh afterwards. But now afterwards he doesn't appear. But now at that moment he was like so pressed to come inside, he shouted. And 20 minutes later there's no need. So do you call it a pressing need? Not a pressing need. See this adab, etc. Mu'adh emphasizes too much on this thing. Social etiquette. What are you supposed to be doing? As soon as that refer to social etiquette. He's got a veil, like how in etiquette you got a cubicle. So you got it for a reason. Now, your reason will be known by you. The next person doesn't need to know why you're enclosing yourself. Does he need to know? Doesn't need to know. You want to make dua, you want to cry, right? And you don't want to be seen by others. Another person just broke the, invaded your privacy and he barged in. I was complaining once, you know, it was the sink, you know. So a new Muslim, and he saw all the mucus all lying in the sink. So he complained, what is this? So, some old Muslim told him, you know, that Angreziyat has not gone out of you. Not that Angreziyat has not gone out of you. Islam is not in you. Islam is not in, it just discourages now. All the mucus is there, the spirit is there. You just left it. Islam is saying, must cover it, wash it out. But now, this thing has become so extinct, right, that you think it's not part of our culture. So someone else picked it up, and he practiced it, and now it seems to be an
things that is extinct, see. So these sunnahs, whether it's pertaining to your social etiquette, working with people, talking to people, dealings, promoting love, we need to see, are we doing this or not? There's so many things, so many hadiths just to promote love. So that's the one thing that Mujaddid Sahib speaks about. The second thing says, one be deeper, one is sunnahs, right? One, the second thing says, he's got a sincere love for his sheikh, right? A lot of love he's got. So he's got these two things, he won't be deprived. So, I read that malfuz, I'm thinking, alright, why does he impress upon the love for the sheikh? So if the love is genuine, will you be concerned about not displeasing him? You want to please him at all times. So you're not going to do anything that will earn you the displeasure. Right? If that love was true, you're not going to do anything that's going to earn you his displeasure. See? So at every step you're thinking, alright, this will please my elder or will displease him. How do I do it? What will please him and what will displease him? So that is now if that muhabbat is true. See. Now this is borne out in the hadith, Al-Mar'u Ma'aman Ahab. Person that you really love, right? Then you want to imitate him, you want to copy him. Anything small or big, but you want to copy the person. That is, if the muhabbat is genuine. This is, if anybody's got these two things, you won't be deprived. He'll gain something and he'll gain something very, very great, right? But these two things, he must be focused, sunnah and the muhabbat for his elder. Like you got a muhabbat for your mother, right? So, are you going to bring about anything that will displease her? You will try your best to please her, right? And in Ramadan, even more. And a big night, even more. You want her du'as, right? And if you're writing your final exams then you say, dil o jaan ke saath. Because you know what it means, final exams, right? So when the muhabbat is genuine, then you won't displease. See? So there's two things, sunnahs and pleasing, keeping them, having a genuine love. Allah Bhakta Sri Sikkara.